Good evening.
Good evening.
If you take care of a dog and feed the dog will look at you and think, he is a god. If you take care of a cat and feed the cat will look at itself and think, I must be God. How do you respond to authority? How do you respond to the leadership that God has put in your life to introduce or to point you to his ultimate authority? Well, the fifth commandment is both practical and spiritual. Parents, in the natural order, are an introduction to authority. They are the first authority figures that a human encounters are the parents. That's what happens inside the nuclear home. And they're the first sign of pointing to God, the ultimate authority. So the question will kind of rumble around tonight is, how do I respond to authority, and how do I respond to the way that God has ordered the world through this authority structure introduced first by the parents? And with this command, as Peter mentioned, is a positive command to honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So tonight, as we continue thinking about one of these 10 words, one of these mandates that says something about our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. Our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, I'm sorry. We're going to explore the fifth commandment tonight. So I'm going to look through a couple of considerations before we get to the heart of the message tonight. But I really do believe there's something in this command that points us to submitting to God's ultimate authority. And so we'll look at a few testimonies from Scripture that are going to point to that. But before that, I think there are a couple of things we ought to highlight while we're at this command in our series. So the first consideration would just to be, I want to reaffirm the value of human beings. People have value because they are made in the image of God. And so this isn't a, man, parents are great and they've got to lord their power over their kids. I know there's a part in Ephesians 6 that says, fathers, do not exasperate your sons so they do not turn away. But there's a bit of a mutual respect here and an inherent value for who someone is as a human being, and not because they provide something or they're a provider or because the kid can offer some kind of talent, but because people have value because they are made in the image of God. I think that's something we may be losing in our society today, is the inherent value of human beings, but something I'd like to affirm here. And Walter Brueggemann said it more nicely than I did. He said that honor is a more delicate, a more transactive process whereby growth, both parties grow through the process. So as parents are honored by their children and as children honor their parents, there's a bit of growth that goes on for both as they think about inherent value. So that's the first consideration, is that people have value and should be honored. And this elevates that from you're made in the image of God to honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So the second consideration to make as we kind of come towards our focus is this idea of blessing. Is this a guarantee of long life and land ownership? You get this and you turn in your update card. I honored my parents today. Can I have my 40 acres and a mule? Is this a thing like that? This reminds me of the Proverbs and the way that the Proverbs speaks about God's right order for living. And so there's a proper way that God has made for people to live, and that receives his blessing. And when people choose to act against God's order, then they step out of God's blessing. And so this is about the life order to God's priorities receives his blessing. I'm sorry for looking at that. The life ordered according to God's priorities will receive his blessing. And so as we submit ourselves to God's order for life, we remain under his blessing. And if we choose to step out of God's order for our life, we choose to remove ourselves from God's blessing. But there's this sense of belonging to the kingdom of God associated with the honoring of parents. That's a bit vague. I'm sorry for that. And a third consideration is that this may be a difficult commandment for some people to grapple with, that honoring parents may rub you the wrong way, may send bristles up your spine. If you've had a difficult relationship with your family, or if you hear someone talking about God the Father, and you think, I had such a lousy dad, how can anything with Father be associated with something good? I don't want to be a part of that. Maybe you have some kind of abuse or trauma in your past. So I just want to be aware of that as we begin. As J. John said, he said, our families can be the source of some of our greatest blessings, but they can also be the source of some of our deepest pains. So there are things that we have to work out. There are things that we need to wrestle with, things that you and I need to wrestle with in the way that you and I relate to our parents, in the way that you and I relate to our authority structures, and the way that you and I relate to the authority of God. So if we are to uphold the inherent value of human beings and uphold the value of our parents by honoring them, if we are to remain in God's proper order for life, then we are to honor our parents regardless of our difficult circumstances. And so the key is to adjust from whatever's happened to you in the past and to move forward into a more restorative manner. And this is the heart of the message that I want to speak about tonight, is what do we do when we don't have a great parent relationship? Or what do we do when we do have a great parent relationship? And what are the next steps that we can take in order that we might honor our parents, in order that we might honor God the Father? Alec Moyer says that this command is both demanding and vague. Both demanding and vague. Because you've got this word honor in there. And so, is honor an object? Can I give you honor, Peter, and you hold on to the honor? Or is honor a feeling? Is it a title that's given to someone? How do you honor someone? I think it's probably easier to think of ways that you dishonor someone. Don't bring dishonor to my name. Don't bring dishonor to the family. Don't ruin the reputation. And so it's kind of helpful to think in a negative way to don't do these things, but do instead the opposite. Do things that honor the family. Do things that make your parents proud. Do things that build them up and show that they've done a good job. So this is important not only for children, but for adult children as well. Mark Twain is quoted as saying, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he learned in 7 years. People change. People change, and roles change throughout life. So the way that we relate to our parents will change as we grow older. There's a phrase, aging parents. I don't know of any parents who are getting younger. I don't know of any people who are getting younger. Linda Clark raised her hand. She said, sign me up. So as you and I grow and mature, we change and our roles change. So two of these stories from the same family are going to talk about how people change and how to honor the father and mother. So first I'd like to talk about Judah. Judah was one of Jacob's 12 sons, one of the 12 boys who would ultimately be the head of the tribes of Israel. And so one day, the brothers are out farming, and they send Jacob, the dreamer, out to check on the farming brothers. And the other brothers hate Joseph. because Joseph has had these dreams that they're all going to bow down to him, and they're going to bow down to him. So they send Joseph out to check on him, and Reuben sees him from a long way off. Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. And Judah says, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery, and we'll make a little money here. So they sell their brother, and they deceive their father by ripping up his coat of many colors and dipping it in the blood of a goat, and they take it back to Jacob and say, look, we found Joseph's coat. Can you identify this? Is it his? He's like, yeah, that's his. And so they've committed this crime against Jacob. They lied to their dad about the death of their brother. Joseph, as you know, goes into Egypt, rises to power. He's serving alongside Pharaoh, and there's a famine, and the brothers come because they need food. And Joseph says, leave with me your youngest brother, Benjamin. And Judah, the man who cooked up the idea to sell his brother into slavery, says this, I could not bear to see the misery which my father would suffer. Let me be a slave in his place. I could not bear to see the misery which my father would suffer. Hey guys, let's sell our brother and deceive our father. I cannot bear to see the misery that my father would suffer. Where is the change? How can someone go from dishonoring their father in such a violent, deceptive way to being so moved with empathy for his father that he would rather be a slave than dishonor his father? People change. Roles change. The way that we relate to our parents can change through our lives. Our past doesn't have to define our future. The holdups that I have from the past did not have to go with me to the future. The disrespect that I've seen or that I've shown does not have to go with me to the future. People change. Roles change. Life happens to people and they gain perspective. What happened to Judah? In between, let's sell our brother, deceive our father, and I will be a slave so that my father will not suffer. What kind of change happened there? Heart change. Judah, in chapter 38, right after they sold him, at that time, he went up with his friend, Hiram the Adullamite. And he's hanging out with Hiram, and he has two sons with an unnamed wife. Both sons die. The third son isn't quite old enough to be married, and so Tamar is kind of hanging out in the wings waiting for someone to fulfill their family role to her. And so it looks like the line of Judah is in peril. He's sinned, he's left the family, his two sons have died, and now he's got this woman called Tamar hanging around. If you haven't read Genesis 38 in a while, go back and read it. It is insane. It sounds like the plot of a film. So anyway, Tamar dresses up like a prostitute, seduces Judah, he sleeps with her, and leaves his staff as a symbol of his identity. A couple of months later, Tamar's pregnant, surprise, and she says, the man who slept with me left this staff. And he says, surely she is more righteous than I am. What happens? Judah experiences grief for himself. He's lost two sons. He knows what it's like to have children die. He's gained life experience. Number two, Judah has come to grips with his sin, has realized his unrighteousness, and has acknowledged that there's a better way. She is more righteous than I. The movement from a dishonorable relationship with parents to an honorable relationship, one that says, I'm willing to sacrifice of myself and of my time so that my father will not suffer in his old age, is that I acknowledge that I've been wrong, I repent, and I want to do things right. I understand what pain is like, and I will offer of myself so that I can alleviate or that I can help you or so that I cannot cause you further pain. I empathize with you. I do not want to see this misery, this suffering befall my father. He had grown. He had matured. He had repented. And so from his difficult past, he was able to leave those scars behind and be in a place where he was willing to offer himself to be a slave. He was willing to give of himself because he had repented. He had changed in his heart. And so he was a person that changed, and his role had changed. Now that's a dark story. Maybe you don't sell your family into slavery. Maybe you don't sleep with prostitutes. Maybe you don't deceive your father by killing a goat and dipping your brother's clothes in it. Maybe you have a good relationship with your parents. Maybe there's something else. How can we honor our parents if there's a good relationship there? How can we continue to submit to them? Those are the kind of key verbs here. Repent or submit are always going to be our next steps in how to honor the father and mother. So much later, actually from that same family line, so Judah and Tamar are named in the genealogy of Jesus. And now Jesus, the descendant of Judah, was known for having a great relationship with his heavenly father, and he had a good relationship with his earthly parents too. So there's a story where Mary and Joseph are coming back from church and they realized, we left Jesus. We left the Messiah at the temple. We got to go back and get him. That just happens if you have kids. My parents left all three of us at church, and that's where my dad worked. maybe they needed a break. So they go back and they ask Jesus, what's going on? And he says, "Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house?" Jesus was known for having a right relationship with his parents and with his heavenly father. And when he was older, that continued. So many, many times he said, "I'm going to do this to glorify my father in heaven. I want to do this to honor my father in heaven. If you keep my commands, they will know that you love me. And if you love me, then you'll love my father in heaven." So all these things that Jesus is doing, a lot of the times the motivation was to glorify or to bring honor to his father in heaven. And so he had to wrestle with this in the garden, as we've spoke about tonight. After the Lord's Supper, they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And he says, "Is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours." And in the midst of a relationship that honored God, Jesus took the next step and submitted to God. He continued honoring God, even in the hardest decision, and chose to submit to his Father's will. While he was on the cross, he took care of his earthly mother. He said, "Mary, this is your son, John. John, this is your mother, Mary. Can we take time? Can I take time? Can you take time from your busy life to take care of your parents as they age?" Philippians said that Jesus took the very nature of a servant. Peter mentioned this when we sang that song, that we may have the mind of Christ. Your attitude should be the very same as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the very nature of a servant. Now Judah was a man with a broken past, and he repented and came to a right relationship with his father. And he said, "I will be a slave so my brother can go free." Jesus, the true Lion of Judah, descended from him, came as a slave so that many could be free for the saving of many lives. He chose to act in submission so that his father could relieve glory. Although he had done nothing wrong, he bore the punishment for sin on the cross, and he rose so that we might have forgiveness, so that we might leave our old lives behind and might walk in newness of life with him, so that we might have, so that you might have, that I might have a right relationship with the Heavenly Father through his ultimate act of submission to the Father's will. It's been said that childhood is preparation for adulthood, and that adulthood is recovery from childhood. And I think there's some truth in that, because everybody has scars. Everybody has something from their past that they wish wasn't there. But the message of hope, the message of this commandment, honor your father and mother so that you may live long, is that there is still time to submit to God's order in life. Whether you have a garbage past and there's a lot of baggage and there's deception and there's death and there's slavery and there's bondage and there's unfortunate circumstances, there's chance for a turnaround. The key is repentance. The key is submission to God's plan. If your life is great, if you've been serving the Lord for many years, if you honor your father and mother, if you walk alongside them in faith with Christ, if they're running the race with you, if you're an encouragement to them and they offer wisdom to you, if you bring life and vitality when they see them, if you enjoy great fellowship as Jesus enjoyed great fellowship with his Heavenly Father, the next step for you is to continue to submit to God's authority and to continue to submit in that parental relationship to demonstrate what a good family looks like. So regardless of your circumstances, there's a next step. For some, the next step is to repent. For some, the next step is to submit. Regardless of our age, regardless of our parents' age, there's a right way to live. And the key is repentance and submitting. So the question is, how will you respond to authority? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are good and that you have an order even when our life lacks it, and that you have a plan, and that you saw things from beginning and you said that there's a right way to live, and I'll commend that with my blessing. We thank you that when we are foolish enough to step away from your blessing, to turn our backs on you and say, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to do my own thing. That you run after us, that you seek us out and you bring us back, you restore us with your love. We thank you that if we have gone away and if we've lived deceptive lives, if we've introduced death unnecessarily into our actions, that you're waiting for us to repent and you will call us back into your love. And we thank you that you love those who honor you. You love those who don't honor you. You came when we were still sinners. And we thank you for your right relationship that you had with the Father, and that you submitted to him so that we might have this freedom, so that we might be liberated to walk with you. Amen.